Hello, welcome to Locked on Sharks, the premier hockey podcast of your favorite team in the Bay Area. And on today's episode, the Sharks shockingly named David Quinn the head coach. So we're going to get into his press conference and media availability and talk about kind of his plan and what he sees for the Sharks. So all that and more on today's episode of Locked on Sharks.
Your Locked on Sharks, your daily podcast on the San Jose Sharks. Part of the Locked on Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm your host, JD Young, contributor at Fear the Fin and San Jose Hockey Now. And of course, I want to thank you for making us your first listen. We're free and available wherever you get podcasts. And of course, you can subscribe on YouTube. So the big news, of course, is David Quinn officially named the Sharks head coach today, the 10th head coach in the franchise's history. And, you know, of course, he had his introductory press conference and, you know, the press was all there, and I myself was able to listen in on the Zoom call and ask a question as well. And, you know, kind of my first takeaway from him is, or from the press conference, is him and Mike Greer are on the same page, right? Where they both talked about, you know, we saw with Mike Greer, one of the first things he said is he wants a hard, fast, tenacious, in your face team. And that was literally the first words that came out of David Quinn's mouth, was the same thing where, you know, he wants a fast team that's hard, tough to play against. We've heard the spiel already several times from the Sharks brass, but, you know, they talked about like how they kind of, you know, coming from the same, you know, coming from BU, and they kind of have they've known each other for a long time. They've talked hockey for a long time, and, you know, they definitely on the same page. And, you know, I was very, very skeptical on David Quinn, you know, the X's and O's and all that stuff, but at least with the, like, you know, these two guys are going to be on the same page and they're going to see things the same way. And there's nothing worse, not in hockey, but not just in hockey, but any sport, where the GM and the coach don't get along and there's that power struggle and that dynamic of who sees, you know, the GM wants to run the team one way and the coach wants to run the team the other way. And I think we're not going to have to worry about that. Not that we saw that before with the Sharks or anything like that, but you're always a little hesitant when, you know, new guys come in, especially when the new GM comes in. And this could have been an issue, especially if Bob Bugner was there, where, again, Bob Bugner would not have been Mike Greer's guy. And David Quinn, for all of his faults and what he did well and didn't do well, he's going to be Mike Greer's guy, and they're going to work together to make sure that they're on the same page when it comes to building the roster and making sure, you know, that they're trying to build a winner out of what has been the wreckage of the Sharks over the past couple of seasons. You know, so I really like that. And we saw too where Mike Greer stood up for David Quinn. Shang was asking about, you know, kind of his, you know, David's or Coach Quinn's experiences with playing young guys and where he kind of had a reputation where he didn't like rookies and didn't like young guys. And, you know, David Quinn, he said a couple words and then Mike Greer just kind of jumped right into it to defend him. And, you know, he's not letting him kind of be out there on an island by himself. And, you know, that I like to see that, you know, especially where you're trying to kind of turn the page on what's been a very successful, I mean, you know, Doug Wilson definitely has, you know, had his flaws and stuff like that. But for, you know, the 20 years of Doug Wilson being the GM, you know, the Sharks were one of the winniest teams during that time. And if the only thing they didn't have was a Stanley Cup, and, you know, going into a new era, you know, I think Mike Greer, you know, definitely a lot of questions about the roster building and some of the moves that he's made. And, you know, I think he's done a lot of good stuff. And I think some stuff I'm still, but he has a plan and it seems like he's sticking to it. You know, I wrote an article on the Fear of the Fin that you can go check out, where it's, you know, his plan is going to be depth and competition over everything else throughout the entire organization. Like, you know, and we heard that with David Quinn today, especially when it comes to younger players, where they have to earn that role. And, you know, there's plenty of, you know, debate about how much should be given to them and how much should be earned, especially when it comes to your young players like William Eklund and Bortolo and, you know, Robbins and Wiseblatt and all these guys who are expected to kind of be your next group of guys. But of that, how much do they need to earn versus how much should be given to them off the bat? And, you know, we'll have plenty of time all summer to kind of dig into what the roster should look like or will look like on opening night and what type of role these guys will play. But, you know, Mike Greer has made it pretty, you know, pretty known that he's going to, you know, these guys are going to have to earn it. And, you know, nothing's going to be given to them guys, and these guys. And if these AHL guys, if they want to make it on the Sharks, it's not like the days of yore where you're having to beat out Lean Bergman and Daniel Yertaken, poor guys. I keep, you know, harping on them, but you're going to have to earn it and beat NHL caliber players to make an NHL team. So will the Sharks be better this year? Probably not, but you can see the plan in place. So before continuing and kind of dig into more of David Quinn's press conference and kind of my takeaways, and we got some news and notes that we gotta cover as well, I want to take a quick break, talk to you guys about our friends over at Bet Online. You guys know BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to check in all your betting needs. Find all your favorite sports and events at the number one source for odds, lines, and games. Find reviews and news of every league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, esports, and even golf. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all your sports wager information. From live in-game betting, scores, and podcasts, they have you covered. So head to BetOnline today or use your mobile device to learn more about the action happening today. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, so, you know, Quinn, he talked about, you know, his time with the Rangers and, you know, stuff that he learned from that. I think the biggest, you know, thing, when we talked about John Chick, he talked to, you know, he specifically mentioned like the micromanaging, and Quinn talked about that today, where it's something he wants to try to work on, and, you know, learning when guys need to kind of be pushed and when you need to kind of back off guys. And, you know, that's good. And, you know, Greer also talked about how coaches are typically better on their second go around. Dakota is making her point well known too. That coaches are usually a lot better on their second go around. And that's the hope that he has. And, you know, the Rangers, we talked about with John Chick on Saturday's episode, how, you know, they were the youngest team in the league. They had, you know, they did have some issues with, you know, with the Panarin thing. And then you had the whole Tom Wilson thing, and, you know, he's the coach and he's got to work through it. I think he's going to learn from that stuff. And like I said, I think him kind of recognizing of the stuff that he needs to work on and realizing that going forward. And that was going to be the question I was going to ask him was, what is the biggest thing you learned? And he kind of, you know, Curtis Peschelka asked him that. And that was his answer was, you know, he said he kind of lost himself, and he wants to try to kind of stick more to kind of be more true to himself. And, you know, it's such a collaborative job, right? Where you're taking information from the scouts, you're taking information from the AHL coaches, you're taking information from, you know, so many different sources and trying to balance it all. And he said that he felt like he kind of lost his way at the end of it. You know, it's easy for us, and I'm very, you know, done this myself a bajillion times too. It's like, oh, why did he make that decision? That's dumb. Why is he starting that guy instead of not playing this guy? Or why is this guy? And, you know, we as fans, we don't see what's going on behind the scenes and stuff like that. And I think for him, you know, he said that was one of the things he wanted to work on, was being kind of more true to himself and being sorry, Dakota's again trying to make her presence felt. The real host of the show. But, you know, being himself and kind of being true to himself and what David Quinn hockey is. And you know, we talked, he said, you know, his time in New York didn't go the way he wanted to, and it clearly didn't. He was fired from his job. And, you know, as much as we're skeptical about what David Quinn brings and stuff, but you still don't become a coach in the NHL without finding success and doing, you know, he was successful on every level until he got to the NHL. So again, I want to see the staff. We'll get into his staff here in a little bit. I want to see the staff that he brings. And I think having a potential AHL coach who knows really well how to kind of work with these kind of NHL, AHL kind of tweener guys and, you know, get them ready for the NHL and someone who's been successful, I think would be a really, really positive thing for him, where he can kind of, you know, utilize his roles, those roles and stuff. And I think for Quinn, where he can work on trying to be that communicator person and try to, you know, be collaborative and build those relationships. And that was what he said, you know, he coaching was about for him, was building these relationships and being collaborative and focusing on that and, you know, help being, having someone who can help him with the, not only the X's and O's stuff, which again, I don't know how well his X's and O's stuff, we'll learn about that, but, you know, just someone who's kind of been in between that AHL, NHL, and, you know, knows what to get a guy from the AHL to the NHL, especially where the Sharks are going to have a lot of guys who are going to be trying to make that push. So, you know, I specifically asked him about what in the NCAA, like his, all of his time in the NCAA, because he did spend, you know, a lot of time working in college. How's that going to help his, your younger guys, like your Eklunds, your Bortolos, your Weisblatts? And, you know, for him, he talked about where, you know, being 22 and playing in college and being 22 and playing in NHL, you still go through a lot of the same issues, right? Where you're we're all 22 at one time. And there's still a lot of stuff you're dealing with outside of just your job or school or whatever. And, you know, I think sometimes it's easy for us to lose the sight that, yes, these hockey players are also have lives outside and they do stuff outside and they have to go, you know, think about, I talked to William Eklund a couple weeks ago. He's a 19-year-old kid who's literally getting ready to move across the world to play hockey. And, you know, that's, he's like, he's got to get his driver's license. He's got to, you know, find a place to live and like this and that, and, you know, get all that stuff taken care of. And there's something, you know, that we've all moved. We've all done that type, you know, I moved a lot being a military kid, but like, I could imagine moving across the country by yourself, you know, or across the world by yourself and having to deal with that stuff. So I think, you know, having that, like, you know, college kids, you know, moving across the country to go to college and stuff. And, you know, we've seen with these, you know, college kids where it's like, you're going to play college, you know, you'll actually on Thursday's episode, I have Daniel G and he talks about like how these colleges, you know, especially for hockey, where they're doing such a great job of not only preparing kids to play college, but preparing them for the pros by, everything is so hockey oriented and, you know, like you have the facilities and you have the weight rooms and you have, you know, of course you're going to school at the same time, but like everything is kind of so hockey oriented. And, you know, I think for him coming from that background of, you know, he knows what these 21, 22, 23 year old kids are going through. And I, you know, again, I thought David Quinn really presented himself well today. You know, I thought he made all the right answers and stuff. Well, my one question is, what is a team that plays in structure but also has freedom? that was because he said it twice, and I've been trying to wrap my brain around it because it doesn't make sense, right? I think it's, if I had to guess, I think it's they want to try to, you know, of course they're going to have their structure and they're going to have their, you know, their system that they're going to run, but he also wants guys to hopefully have some freedom to make mistakes and not be punished for it as much. And that was kind of the thing that we heard about his time in the Rangers, where, you know, guy, you play within the system, but have freedom to make choices. That's what I'm hoping, at least freedom to have to make choices in the system, you know, and we'll see how that works out. We got plenty of time before training camp. And if I get a chance, I'm going to ask him about like what that actually means. That's my next question for David Quinn. So hopefully he'll have some availability at some point here. But, you know, and then and kind of the other big thing I you know, that he talked about was, you know, how excited he was to work with Mike Greer. And, you know, we know the connection that they have, you know, going to school together or not going to the same school. They work together. You know, they're both at the Rangers. You know, granted, they were slightly separated, but, you know, and when we talked about, you know, his playing with the young kids, you know, his thing with playing with the young kids. And, you know, apparently, you know, he talks about that earning it thing, right? Where, yeah, you have Lafreniere and you have these guys who are, you know, second row of overall picks, and they've kind of been given things. But then how do you go to, you know, Panarin and say, hey, you know, I got to let this kid play power play, stuff like that. So I think that's where he's going to have to kind of find the balance. And I hopefully, you know, knowing that, yes, you want to win games right now, but in the long run, getting your William Eklunds, your Thomas Bortolos, you know, et cetera, getting these guys up to speed as quick as you can is going to be your easiest way to get the Sharks playing competitive hockey again. So, yeah, like I said, I'm interested. We're going to next thing we're talking about is his potential coaching staff, and then kind of some other news and nuggets that kind of came out from today. But before we get to that, when you guys are done listening to this, make sure you guys go check out the Locked On NHL show. They're going through, I know they talked about like the Eastern Conference prospects. So I assume they're going to be talking about the Western Conference prospects coming up soon. Of course, they, you know, the fallout from the Tkachuk trade that happened over the weekend. So when you guys are done listening to this, make sure you guys go check out the Locked On NHL show wherever you get podcasts. And of course, you can check them out on YouTube as well. All right. So we did have some news and notes, of course, for today. Sasha Chmielewski heading to the KHL, you know, and he kind of was stuck in a hard, between a rock and a hard place, right? Where he's a classic kind of tweener guy right now. And he's too good, clearly too good for the AHL. And I don't know if he's going to win a spot on the opening night roster, especially with how much depth they added, you know, Mike Greer added over the offseason. So he's going to go play in the KHL. The Sharks still have his rights. So if he's done playing the KHL and he wants to come back and play for the Sharks, they still have his rights. So hopefully he goes over there and dominates. He's going to, one, make more money, two, get more playing time. So good luck to Sasha. I always liked you. Too bad Logan Couture stole your only goal. poor Sasha. So, yeah, so good luck to Sasha. Other kind of news, Kevin LeBanc will not be bought out, which, again, I didn't see that coming. I think his trade value is too low right now to do anything, especially with, you know, nearly a $5 million cap hit. He's not, like, you're not getting anything if you trade him. So I assume they're going to have him come in and play, and then hopefully you can build up his value a little bit this year, and then kind of see what happens going into the trade deadline or going into this next offseason. So, yeah, I'm, you know, he's back on, he's been practicing, and, you know, apparently he's feeling good and he's ready for the upcoming season. Greer also talked about Radim Šimek, and he's basically said if his agent wants to try to force a trade, come see him, but he hasn't heard anything from it, so we'll see. Because if, just a reminder, Šimek said at the end of the season, he basically told a local paper in Czechia that he felt like he was lied to between management, who said we need to play younger players, and coaching, who said we need to play younger players, but they both said the other one. It's like the, yeah, going to your mom and going to your dad, and they're both telling you different. Anyway, so he felt like he was lied to about that, where, you know, like, he understands if you're going to play younger players, but, like, just tell him the truth. So we'll see. The Sharks still need to move a contract to get Ferraro. Greer did say Ferraro is going to get done at some point here soon, not to worry about that, you know, but I mean, you have three goalies. So one of them has to get traded. You kind of have a little bit of a log jam in the defense now, especially with all the new signings. So somebody's got to go. And especially before the season starts. Yeah. You it'd be best to try to clear that up, especially, again, you still have to sign Mario Ferraro at some point. So, I'll be very interested to see in the Ferraro contract, if it's a RFA, here's couple years, let me kick the can down the road and we'll take a look at this again in a couple years, or if they just try to lock him up long term right now. So we'll see with Ferraro. We'll see with him. So other kind of stuff too. Someone asked if the Sharks, if Greer and David Quinn had thought about changing up the coaches, or not the coaches, the captains and the alternate captains, and they quickly both said no, they weren't going to do that. So yeah, that's not going to happen. So yeah, I don't think we're going to see. I'd be shocked if we saw Logan Couture get his captaincy stripped. that would be wow. If Greer and Quinn come in and just stripped it, I would be shocked by that. So, and the other thing is too, they're going to be looking, you know, of course they now have to hire some assistant coaches. The big news Kevin Weeks talked about was, Orsovsky, who's apparently he interviewed for the head coach role, of course, didn't get it, but I guess now he's in consideration for one of the assistant coaches. And I think that'd be a home run hire where you're getting the guy who, like I said, already interviewed to be a head coach in the NHL. You know, he's performed well with the AHL. You know, they won the Calder last year. He was on their team, you know, was one of the coaches when Rocky Thompson was the head coach. He's, you know, took over for him. I think, you know, again, that guy who knows how to get guys ready from the AHL to the NHL, you know, that winning breeds winning kind of a formula. And, you know, I'm really interested to see how, you know, Quinn, Orsovsky, and then, you know, John McCarthy and his coaching staff, how they all kind of work together and try to get a blueprint in place for these guys who are going to be pushing, you know, going to be playing on the coup this year, but then eventually going to be pushing for NHL ice time sooner rather than later. So another name that kind of also popped up was Daniel Galio, I believe. David Oliver, sorry. I don't know where I got Daniel. That's another name that popped up. So if these guys get hired, we'll kind of dive into them and look at their past and how they're going to be able to help the Sharks and kind of, you know, that situation. So I believe that was it for everything Sharks related. So we're here, we have a coach, we have a general manager. Who would have thought? Not I. Look at us. But that's going to do it for me today. Like I said, I have one more interview this week. I've got Daniel G from Elite Prospects. He does a Michael Fisher. We talk about Michael Fisher and kind of do a nice Michael Fisher profile. Very, very, very tantalizing prospect and very much a Brandon Coe. He's got a lot of tools. If you can put the toolbox together, you might have found gold type of prospect. So that'll be probably coming out on Thursday. I've got some other interviews lined up. I don't want to kind of mention yet, but take a peek social media this week and I'll probably have a little teaser for one of them coming up. So, that's going to be it. Thank you guys, of course, for making us your first listen. You can find the show on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram at Locked On Sharks. Post all of our work there. You can also listen Apple, Spotify, Odyssey, all those places. YouTube, go ahead and subscribe there. All the shows come out a little early on YouTube, so you can check that out as well. We always do premieres of them, so you can kind of, you know, watch them with everybody. You guys can, you know, there's plenty of people talking in the comments. You know, you can make fun of me, you can look at my little man, you know, the Razor Crest Lego there. I'm supporting the Scouting t-shirt today. So and yeah, so go check that out. Of course, make sure you guys listen to the Locked On NHL show. Of course, all the other Locked On shows, now that football season's here, you know, Locked On Niners, Locked On Dolphins, Kyle Krabs does a great job over there for you fans of the Dolphins, all those places. So follow me on Twitter at MyFryHole. And again, I'll be back on Thursday with the interview with Daniel G. Bye, friends.